May we love this planet, and in loving her, love ourselves. We who know so much and so little at the same time, we who are profoundly moved by the beauty of the world, when we look through the lens of the scientist and marvel at the intricate complexities of life under a magnifying glass, or peer through the telescope to understand the infinite universe and the marvels of time and space. We need the poets to give shape to our feelings and the artists to leap truths on the edge of our knowing. Mystery and knowledge, what we know and what we don't know, and the edge between them. That is what I will talk about this morning. The writer, the science writer and physicist Chet Ramo, in his book called Skeptic and True Believers, states that we are a culture divided at its heart. On one side, we warmly, enthusiastically embrace technology and the medical fruits of science, and we applaud the spectacular insights science offers into the way life works. And yet, we reject one of its clearest implications, that we are ephemeral, contingent parts of a silent universe that is vastly larger than ourselves. The division Ramo describes is that between what he calls the skeptics and the true believers. The skeptics have their roots in the Enlightenment and the scientific revolution. They grow from scientific and liberal thinkers who question the accepted definitions of the reality of their day and who created the scientific method for the testing of their theories. They are doubters and questioners, prone to depression, comfortable with diversity. Their world, says Ramo, is mainly gray. Now, true believers live in a world that is mostly black and white, he says. They tend to not have much faith in human beings working it out for themselves. They look for help from beyond. They like their truths simple and certain. They are uncomfortable with diversity, and they reject paradox. They are comfortable with dogma and rely on authority. They are convinced of the righteousness of their truth and want to convince everyone else of it too. Now, if you think that only scientists are skeptics and only religious zealots the true believers, you'd be wrong. There are scientists who are true believers. They're rational thinkers who are convinced that theirs is the one true way of explaining reality. They reject anyone who questions them. And there are also religious skeptics. They are people of faith who question their beliefs, perhaps their belief in a hereafter, or whether or not there's even a divine force moving the universe. Chet Ramo hungers for a faith that is open to a new cosmology, one that has room for both the skeptic and the true believer. He wants a faith, as do I, that is open to the new cosmology that is skeptical and empirical, ecumenical and ecological. A faith that uses spiritual language and religious ritual because it includes and integrates scientific knowledge. A faith that respects the human need to face into the awe of the unknown mysteries. Ramo offers us a metaphor. This then be the ground of my faith, he says. All that we know, now and forever, all scientific knowledge that we have in this world or will ever have, is an island in a sea of mystery. We live in our partial knowledge as the Dutch live on polders or polders claimed from the sea. We dike and we fill. We dredge up soil from the bed of mystery and build ourselves room to grow. And still, the mystery surrounds us. It laps at our shores. It permeates the land, scratch the surface of knowledge and mystery bubbles up like a spring. And occasionally at certain disquieting moments in history, Galileo, Einstein, a tempest of mystery comes rolling up from the sea and overwhelms our efforts, reclaims knowledge that has been built up by years of patient work, and forces us to retreat to the surest, most secure core that we know, where we huddle in fear and trembling until the storm subsides, and then we can start building again, throwing up dikes, pumping and filling, extending the perimeter of our knowledge and our security. Knowledge is an island in the sea of mystery. And where are we? Well, I think we're on the shoreline, or we could be, standing on the shoreline with one foot in the sea of mystery and one foot on the island of knowledge. Ramos says that we are at our human best at this shoreline. To walk along the shoreline, we must be able to hold within our hearts and our minds the paradoxes that we know so much and so little about. We must be aware that the sea of mystery at any moment can sweep in and overwhelm us. We need to be compassionate with ourselves when we want to cling to those rocks of knowledge. It's a dynamic place, this shoreline. If we accept his metaphor that knowledge is a finite island and the sea an endless mystery, then there are two consequences that follow. The growth of the island doesn't make less the sea's infiniteness, and the growth of the island only increases the length of its shoreline. This means that the greater our knowledge, the bigger the mystery. At the shoreline, we will always have more mystery and more knowledge. Both scientist and artist are pulled by the tides of mystery, and each in their way respond. Scientists love to dig down into the unknown and make it known. And the artist reaches up for truth through inspiration and intuition. Both scientist and artist are moved, driven, and inspired by mystery. When a scientist looks into the night sky and sees the stars, even the brightest star she knows is trillions of miles away, shining in all directions, and yet she can see it, we can see it, as if it is shining just for our eyes at that moment that we look. When in fact it's been shining for tens of thousands or millions of years. And when a fraction of the light sent from that star touches our retinas, we can barely hold in our minds the numbers of years, the distance of space and time that that momentary speck of light has traveled to touch us. Isn't that moving? Humbling? Awesome? What is that story in the nighttime sky? That evolutionary story. Well, from a scientific point of view, it's this. The universe began in a fiery explosion probably 10 to 15 billion years ago. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, is one of tens of billions of galaxies. Our planet came into form, solid form, about 4.5 billion years ago from a gaseous nebula. Flowers emerged 100 million years ago with their blossoms and their seeds that created pockets of protein and sped up the growth of animals. The human race has been evolving its body, its mind, and its conscience for hundreds of millions of years. Our bodies are made from those same components of the stars, It's an awesome story and hard to grasp the sheer scope of time it took for our carbon molecules to arrive in the form that is our body right now, sitting in this chair. And from a purely scientific point of view, that's all we are. Carbon molecules, a few chemical processes. There is no other point to our existence than to keep reproducing in order to maintain our genetic evolution. But for me, and perhaps for you, there is so much more than just genetic evolution. There's the experience of life itself, the exhilaration of adventure, the transformation of the process of beauty, the healing of the heart and mind through compassion, the community forming of laughter, the exquisite pain of loss, the truth of our strength, including the power of our own destructiveness, the loneliness of our limitations, and the hope in our creativity. We humans are an extension of the universe, not only at the level of molecules, but also at the level of hearts and thoughts, hopes and dreams. This human self, this humanness, the way we have evolved in our intelligence and our creativity and in our self-awareness, we very well may be the universe knowing itself. And this too is part of the evolutionary story. It is this that the stars in the depth of the vast darkness remind us of, that not only are we part of the basic fabric of the universe, that we are also part of its conscious awareness. As the summer evening darkened into night, along with three friends, I walked toward the lake. The summer night sky was clear, and the evening was quiet. As we moved closer to the lake, we became aware of other people in the darkness, walking, sitting, standing around us, dark shadows among shadows, and we heard the low murmur of many voices. Now, the lake is a place where usually at night, there's very few people. But on this night, there were crowds, literally hundreds of people milling around in the dark. All of us drawn to the shoreline between the lake and the forest because of another shoreline, the one between earth and sky, between our planet and the infinite galaxy. This night was the night of the summer comet shower. What was it that drew us there? To sit together or stand in family groupings or alone to watch the heavens? Did we yearn to feel awe of the unknown? To understand our place in the universe? Yes, both and. One of my friends had a small computer screen, and when he held it up to the sky, it was able to read the position of the stars that it was pointed towards, and then to tell us the names of those stars and more. It was also able to tell us about which were the satellites moving so quickly across the sky. Who did these satellites belong to, and what was their purpose so high above? Awesome technology and science. And then out of that quiet murmur of hundreds of people, as a particularly large comet streaked suddenly across the night sky, as if on cue and planned, there was a huge, collected, I love that. We were tiny human beings, our faces turned towards the heavens, and we all exhaled together our delight and our wonder and our awe at that streak of fire across the sky. So there you have it. On the edge of the lake we gathered, or were drawn there to experience that primitive awe of humans in relationship to that vast universe. And in our hands, we carried the science and the technology that answered some of those questions about that very universe. This is our shoreline in 2013, where we live, where we're integrating science with our very human need to feel the awe of the unknown. I think that the split between science and soul is becoming less a debate between two opposite realities that would eventually cancel out one, and becoming more an integrated experiential conversation. Perhaps we are the eyes of the universe, and our purpose is to see and to understand and to create. Perhaps we are the awareness of the universe reflecting on itself. Perhaps we are already living the new stories at the shoreline. The physicist Paul Davis says, "If God is to be found, it must surely be through what we discover about the world, not what we fail to discover." Well, some of us may reject science as a source of revelation because we are uncomfortable with what it tells us. And some of us may reject religious faith because we're uncomfortable with a way of seeing that is not situated in reproducible fact. As Unitarians, we covenant to respect each other's choices. But it is crucial that we do not stop at polite respect. If we are ready to create a new platform for a religion that embraces science and faith, then we must also become curious about the choices that we reject, and then live in that tension, or the seeming paradox of the possibility of truth in the other. This place is the shoreline between what we know and what we believe, between science and theology. Let us walk the shoreline, follow those steps between mystery and knowledge, and let us tell our stories together. I invite you to come walk with me. And we take a deep breath after all those words. Thank you for listening. And now I'm just changing a little bit what's in the order of service. We're going to sing now hymn 175. We sell